This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody believed. Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us. Nobody believed us. And then they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent, our intent was to eat. Our intent was to come eat and be hungry. I'm not interested in all the bells and whistles. What I want is a team that fights their ass off, and they did tonight.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings perimeter location. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. That is Kirby Smart, and this is why I absolutely love Kirby. That was him, Mike, right after the game. Emotional, yeah, and real as it gets, as his Dogs were able to go to Austin and beat up on the number one team, which was the number one team. They're not anymore. 30-15, guys. And listen, as we get this show started today, we talked a lot about it last week and what Texas was statistically coming into this game. And Georgia, Mike, answered all of our questions that we had going into this game about could they live up to it? Are they going to play their best game? And I got to give my partner a lot of credit. Let me say this from the top. Mike Bell said all last week, why are they not giving ETN the ball more? Well, guess what? They did.
It was a real focal point of the offense, and whether it was in the passing game or just running the football and using that athleticism in the goal line, stretching for that touchdown. You know, I think they'll go as far as Carson Beck's turnovers will go. I mean, he basically made some mistakes.
He's hurting them.
If he takes some of that back, this game maybe isn't as close as it wound up being, which was pretty much Georgia in control. The other thing was, you and I said all week, where is that space grabber? Where is that dominant defensive player? Well, that guy is Mykael Williams when he's healthy. When Mykael Williams is healthy, he is that dude that just looks like a guy that's going to go in the top 10 of the NFL draft. He was a beast.
Yeah, I this was for me watching this game, and look, I had mixed emotions. You guys know that as I watched this game going to Texas and certainly following and covering the Dogs as we do, but this was a beatdown. This was a physical beatdown. For all the conversation we had last week, Mike, about them having the best offensive line, great defensive line, they got punched in the face. And I thought Texas was overwhelmed in the first half of this game. They settled down, but it was too little too late. And they weren't able to close. And, you know, the quarterback change, everybody was freaking out about that when they went to Arch because they were like, oh, it's panic mode. I actually thought that was a good move to settle down Quinn Ewers, which he came back in the game and played better. Right. But let's be honest, Georgia answered the bell. And this is kind of what we've been waiting for, Mike, and saying, all right, how good is this team really?
Yeah, man, Jalen Walker was also, I think, co-SEC Defensive Player of the Week.
Monster.
His effort. So everybody was getting after the quarterback. And that's the thing. If you're a Texas fan, Arch Manning's going to come in and here's that sort of like Hollywood story being written and Arch to the rescue. He couldn't get anything going either because Georgia was living in Texas backfield. The defense performance was amazing. As we said, the only thing that you had to settle for a couple of field goals and that Carson Beck kept giving the ball over to Texas. But other than that, it was just unbelievable to see. And look, you and I touched on it. They had not played a team of this caliber. Michigan, even in the Big House, that's not Jim Harbaugh's Michigan.
No, they weren't the same.
And Oklahoma is what they are, and it's pretty bad. But yeah, this is one that, sure, here's the thing. Everybody deals in absolutes now, just like the ESPN guys before the game. It's all Texas. And afterwards, well, not like Texas is going to go somewhere. They're going to regroup. Sark's a good coach. They'll figure things out. But they've got to be able to account for that kind of physicality of the Georgia's front. We'll see more of that later in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And yeah, at 6-1, they're going to be a playoff team. Their schedule's going to allow them probably to win out, Mike. And you'll be a one-loss team heading into the playoff and whatever happens from there.
That A&M game, you talked about it Friday.
That's a big one.
Huge.
That's a big one. Texas, the other part of this is Georgia came in and did not – you know, relinquish this lead once they got it on the road. And I thought, Mike, it took the crowd out. Obviously, the biggest moment of this game, everybody in college football is talking about it. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we broadcast live from Buffalo Wild Wings. Perimeter location, come through and see us, man. We are going to have a lot of fun out here today. Mike and I are done at 6, but we're just going to hang out, kick it with you guys at the bar, and talk about these Monday night games. So we'd love to see you guys come out here and hang out with us. Fans throwing stuff on the field is nothing new. In the moment, I get it. It's an emotional time. You feel like your team has gotten robbed, and everybody right now who's listening saying, oh, it was classless, I'd never do that. Well, you put yourself in that situation in the student body, because it was the student section, and in that moment, they made a mistake. And, Mike, I thought it was a mob mentality, because all it took was one kid to throw something on the field, and then everybody's throwing stuff on the field, which ultimately led to a call that everybody is talking about.
Yeah, and again, I've never seen – it ever happened in SEC, ACC, any conference in college football. Remember, guys, like the NFL, they gave it 1 year where you could review, you know, pass interference. It's not reviewable in the SEC. What this did, while they cleaned up all the bottles, somebody somewhere in the SEC got on the horn and talked to those officials and said, you got to turn over, you got to, you know, turn that thing over. And I've never seen it happen. And Georgia fans have never seen it happen. And it sets a terrible precedent, which has been commented on, like just acting like a bunch of idiots and give, you know, the refs another 5 minutes to figure something out. And maybe they'll get it right. So the kids who did throw, apparently everybody, you saw the meme that went viral, one of those messages you got on their season ticket saying, you're done. You don't get to go to games anymore this year for that, for this season for
sure,
Texas.
Sure.
But it just, to me, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I'm not trying to get wacky here, but just – it's pretty obvious that somebody said, either from an official on the field, somebody in the booth said, you've got to overturn this call. Because they had already made the call. The call's already made, and then the deluge of debris, and then they literally come back and reverse the call.
So, Jahde Barron's pick. He picks the ball off, runs it back 36 yards to the Georgia 9-yard line in the third quarter. This is the moment we're talking about. And it is called pass interference. Originally, that's the call. And to Mike's point, I don't know how long it was, Mike. Was it 8-10 minutes? Cleared the field.
Right.
I don't know how long it was. But once that was done, they came back. The officials came back on and said, hey, the call's been reversed. And Kirby lost his mind, and rightfully so. And I remember turning to my wife. I said, look, this is the right call, but the moment, it just doesn't feel right. Like, if you were going to do this, it just doesn't seem like the process was the right way to go about it. So let me ask you this, Mike. Why can't we have reviews in college football? Why can't we have what they have in the NFL, where you get a coach's challenge and a red flag
right
in these moments where you feel like, hey, that's a blown call and I get to challenge? Because the way this played out, and let's just keep it real, it felt like the refs were in on this.
Right.
And if you're not a Texas or a fan and you're saying, yeah, it's the right call, that's one thing. But if you're a dog fan, you're going, what the hell? We're on the road. There's 110,000 folks in here. You took 10 minutes and now you're changing. Somebody's getting in on this.
Which, again, by the rules, it's not supposed to happen, okay? They've never reversed a call, okay, as far as a pass interference. And, by the way, we've had this discussion on the radio. The NFL, because of the blown call in the NFC Championship game between the Rams and the Saints, gave you reviewable for the pass interference call, and they took it away. We could have used it yesterday. Now, only a field goal on that first drive, but that was a big moment where you got the pass interference. We're about to get those guys off the field.
Yeah.
It sustains a drive for Seattle on what I thought was a dubious pass interference call. So it would be nice if the college ranks want to set that standard, because, as we know, pass interference is huge. It needs to be reviewed. And Saturday night, that game took forever because of all the things going on and reviews and more video. It's funny, if you were an English fan, one race, you think American football is in a striped shirt looking at a tiny little television, because that's all you saw.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Love to hear from you, 404-726-0929. We're hanging out at Buffalo Wild Wings. Carson Beck, and we're talking about the Dogs. We will get to the Falcons. It is a Falcon Monday, and certainly we were very disappointed in what we saw yesterday, and I know most of you were as well. We've got to regroup quickly and get ready for Tampa coming up this weekend. But Carson Beck, Mike, here's the thing folks will say. Dukes and Bell is 19-2 as a starter, including 7-2 against ranked teams. So he wins these big games. And I would be reluctant to tell you, if you're going to say how far can Georgia go and can they win it all, because that's the conversation, is he going to be the reason to hold them back, Mike? 3 interceptions, and Texas did nothing with those picks. They weren't able to convert and score. And, you know, he was 23 of 41. So they put a lot of pressure on Beck in this game. He still threw the ball a lot. But, Mike, he only finished with 175 yards.
Yeah, he was a liability. He was not an asset at times. And, again, you said it. The defense got right back there on the field and did their job. And, I mean, if Texas had any kind of juice, anytime you get a turnover in a game like that, you've got to get points. Texas got nothing off those picks. That was huge. The only one that was the recall we just talked about, the reverse, which gave them the field, they punched it in. So I just – I don't know what Bobo says to Beck to get his head right, because we have confidence. You know, he actually addressed it.
Well, when the game started, didn't it feel like he was like,
the moment's too big?
It did. It felt that way.
I mean, he's surrounded by the players that finally stepped up. We talked about Georgia's defense. That was the calling card for this game. And then Trevor Etienne, as you mentioned, finally becomes a factor. But, yeah, Beck, look, if they don't win a championship this year, it's because Beck does something stupid. Let's keep it real.
That's where it's
they've
at.
They've got to rein him in. Bobo's got to straighten. I need to straighten you out.
Yeah.
And they've also, the other thing last night, Saturday night, I keep saying last night, is the targeting rule, which I think a lot of college fans, it drives them crazy. I know we want to see players tackling with their heads up. We don't want to see guys leaving the field taped to a board. I understand that. But some of that stuff is just so – I mean, the refs have got such a wide area to interpret.
In the moment.
And now you've got two players from Georgia that are going to miss the first half against Florida in a cocktail party.
Yeah, in the moment. It is tough. And, again, this is another area where, you know, I know they review that, but still it's like, some of those are questionable calls. We want to hear from you guys. Follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. Live at Buffalo Wild Wings, Big O's back at the studio off of vacay. Big O, good to have you back. Turtle is with us here, executive producing. We're going to be out here until 7, guys, hanging out. Morgan here.
Oh, Morgan, Squid Nation will be in over Dunwoody.
All right, come
Squid
on.
Perimeter, man. Go get over here,
your
man.
Your favorite folks are out here hanging out. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. When we come back, what was that yesterday?
Ugh.
It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, live at Buffalo Wild Wings perimeter location. So I was just told, Mike Bell, that we have $50 gift cards that we're going to be giving away once an hour.
Woo-hoo.
Here for Buffalo Wild Wings. All right. And we will give them to folks that are here in the building. In the building! And you gotta be present, all right? So come on through if you want to enjoy a nice beverage, maybe some a late lunch, maybe early dinner, whatever it's going to be.
So $50 gift cards for Buffalo
per hour.
And the way we're doing it, basically, guys, it's you've got to know Squid Billy. It's Squid Billy trivia. If I asked you what time and what hospital was Squid Billy born in, you know that you get yourself a $50 gift card.
I think that may be a little difficult.
Yeah,
that's going to be hard.
What is Squid Billy's favorite NASCAR paint scheme?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's going to be hard, too.
Yes, go ahead, Mike Johnson.
That's going to be hard. But we're going to give that away between now and 3 o'clock, all right, our first one. And then we'll continue to give those away. We also have a chance for you to win a signed Kyle Pitts jersey, guys, but you've got to register for that. It's right there as I look at it, right next to Squid and Mike Johnson, who are out here from the morning shift. So make sure you come on out. We're going to have all of our personalities out here hanging out with us as well at Buffalo Wild Wings. Mike, what was that yesterday? What did we see with our Falcons?
That was just an absolute sleepwalking effort. And the weird thing, guys, is, you know, we've been so bad for so long and not making the playoffs, it's hard to remember when a good team puts that kind of stuff out there. This happens to every team in the NFL. It's already happened to some teams this year. It used to happen to us back in the day. But it's hard to get your head around. It's only, and Mike Johnson could probably talk more about this. There's 17 weeks in the season, and you figure you're the professionals, but yet there's always one stinker. There's always a game where you just come out flatter than your kids. My kids, you've met my sister, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But there's just no juice. And that's what happened. I've gotten as far on the rewind as you have, but Coach even talked about it in the halftime interview.
Well, he came out, and he said, look, we've got to wake up. That was the phrase he used. And they were flat. There's just no debating it. And you saw it from the start of the game. I mean, it obviously followed through the fourth quarter where they ended up taking Kurt out.
Right.
We see Penix for a series. Okay, great. But I don't want to see Penix, right? That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for dubs. And our team just didn't live up to it yesterday. The crazy thing is, for me, Mike, the turnovers killed us. I mean, you know, the strip sack score was one of, if not the biggest moments in the game yesterday. And Cousins is lucky he didn't get more injured. The way he landed on the turf, I mean, his head got squished.
Right.
He's got a bloody nose. He's on the sideline. We don't want to see any of that because those were violent sacks. But with that said, I thought it was a mistake-filled game where we were flat and we'll be okay. I know, like, in the moment, you don't want to hear that, but we're going to be fine. We'll react. This might be the best thing going into Tampa.
I mean, Kirk obviously owned it, as he always does. He doesn't shy away from it and says, I've got to be, yes, and no one debates it. Yes, you have to be better, Kirk. Play calling's got to be better. And the coach talked about it. Fans see it. There's no edge rush. Where I sit, I'm up in 342, so I see the play develop.
Yeah.
And, look, we can argue about the refs. It's a losing argument because, you know, they ain't going to go back and replay it. But they were really ticky-tack on false starts and line play. But the holding was ridiculous. Judon was getting held on every play. Whatever, it happens. But we've got to get somebody opposite him. We just don't have that guy. Coach, I mean, I know what Jimmy Lake is trying to do, but zone coverage only works when the linemen get pressure. Otherwise, you got to start blitzing. The outside linebackers, you know, they're not getting anywhere. You know, the only sack we got was from one of our run stoppers who got in there. You know, it was a James Smith Williams. Nothing is happening with the edge rush. And the coaches are aware of it. The fans know it. How are they going to fix it? Because there's really not a lot of guys you can go get midseason right now via trade.
Well, and again, yesterday was very reminiscent of the Carolina game. Close. Probably should have had three sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Didn't get him to the ground.
Right.
Didn't make the play. Was close. Geno escapes. Geno makes a play. Like, that's where we're living right now. And it's hard because those are the plays that come back to bite you. Let's hear from Raheem Morris about what went down specifically in the second half with the run game issues.
We just kept having moments, you know, whether it be a penalty, whether it be something to set us back, whether it be a big touchdown by those guys like at the end of the half, you know, something that they were able to counter do and something to do better than us. And we got to change those things to get the momentum we can get it.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, if you go look at this game and you go, all right, well, I mean, what happened? Bijan ran for over 100 yards. He did. He touched it 21 times. Tyler Algier only had 5 carries in this game. But offensively, we were blah. It was the turnovers really hurt you. And, Mike, you know, talking about the effort, let's hear Raheem Morris address this. He uses the word flat. That's the word that I'm using because that's how I feel. Guys, you ever just woke up for work one day and you're like, eh, you don't feel it? You're going to go to work.
That never happens on our show.
Never. But
ever.
You're going to get there, but you know it's like, it's just kind of been one of those days, and you get there, and you're just not as productive as you want to be.
Looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Exactly. Let's hear from Ra.
You know, not the effort. You know, we didn't come out. We came out flat today. You know, I hate to question guys' effort. I think the guys came out. We didn't play well, and we got to fix that. And that's something we got to go back to the lab and do.
Yeah, I'm not going to question the effort either. Listen, there's nobody that's not trying to win. Okay, and Mike, as we're talking about this, I know we've had a lot of discussions about A.J. Terrell. The touchdown for the half was also a backbreaker. I mean, you give up 3 there. I can live with that. You can't give up a touchdown, and it wasn't solely on Terrell. Again, we're in a cover 2. He should have help over the top, and Caden Ellis should be in front of that wide receiver. Okay. And instead, he gets caught looking in the backfield. All of a sudden, this lane opens up, and Geno, he hit it.
Yeah, but it is tough, though, and I know a lot of fans, certainly where I sit, okay, me, was, why are we giving this money? You know, because when you see it as a fan, you don't know schematically where's the help is supposed to be coming from.
You don't.
But still, a guy that's one of the highest-paid corners did not look like one of the guys who should be the highest-paid corner yesterday, regardless. But, you know, that's a bad day at the office. That was everybody on the team. Seattle also had 10 days to prepare, and they were looking at a four-game losing streak had they not gotten their S together, which they did. And again, we've said this. This guy leads the league in passing yards. Now, some of that is empty calories when they're getting down, but this guy, Geno, can deliver the football when you give him all that time. Any quarterback in the NFL, Desmond Ridder, believe it or not, when given time back last year, can deliver. So that was to be expected. But when you got Lockett and Metcalf out there running, like, basically with no one in the picture frame, that's awful.
404-726-0929. It was a disappointing day at the bench yesterday. And also, Raheem was asked about Bijan's stats. He, again, goes over 100 yards, Mike, scores. You feel good about that aspect. You're trying to take positives from this loss. Here's Raheem.
I think everybody know what I'm going to say about the stats. You know, they're for losers, and we lost today. You know, Bijan came out and was able to run the football well. He was able to catch the ball out the backfield pretty well. But you got to put it all together as a team. And I will never glorify individual stats over team wins. That's just not my makeup.
Yeah, and I'm with him on that. I mean, again, you could have a great day, and it's great for Bijan. Mike, it's progress, which is what we want to see.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it don't mean anything because you didn't get the dub.
No, man. I mean, great for me as a fantasy owner that Bijan hit the century mark and got a touchdown, but yippee-ki-yay, right? Drake London had a good effort. 8 targets, 6 for 63 and a score. Kyle Pitts, 9 targets, 7 yards, 65, 7 catches for 65. So all the guys we want to see get involved, but, you know, there was just – you know, we never got to pay dirt. We never got in the end zone. And you said it. That score before the half was a backbreaker.
Brutal. Again, I expected a field goal there. I just didn't expect a touchdown. And that kind of killed any momentum that you potentially had coming out. So you go back to work. And they will do that. And we will be up there on Wednesday. And this is a big one, man. Listen, as much as that sucked yesterday, Mike, we literally, and I mean this, could win the division on Sunday.
Guys, we've seen other teams put this crap on tape. Unfortunately, it was our turnaround. Our turn is to go around the wheel, and we looked awful. Well, let's hope the Ravens beat the Bucs, both literally on the scoreboard and physically, because the Bucs will have a short turnaround. They'll have one less day to get ready for us.
Yes.
That game is going to be huge. They're going back to the throwbacks, so they're wearing the creamsicle unis on
Sunday.
Those are cool.
It'll
be a lot of fun. But, yeah, man, we've got to get down there, get our heads right. And you said maybe this is sort of shock to the system. We're not there yet where we can slough off a bad effort day. Right. I
mean, totally
although
no.
We did explain to you, it does seem to happen in the NFL every year.
It does. And again, that's why I'm not going to be crazy necessarily about the way this happened. I mean, it was a bad day all the way around. But I also know that very good teams, all right, no matter what year, pick a year, go through this. And so hopefully we can recover. Now, the thing is, Mike, you go through this and you don't recover, then that's a different conversation, right? If you go through this and then we don't show up Sunday against Tampa, now you're like, okay, what's happening? Then following week you're sluggish. Now we got an issue. That's not this situation.
Guy just hit us up on Twitter. Black man there, one of our favorite followers.
Yes, he is.
Says, hey, ask Coach about Brandon Dorless. Let's get him on the field. Well, I mean, can't do any worse. You know, we talked about Brandon Trice. He got injured in preseason. I was really excited to see. We love this guy's effort in camp. Brandon Trice looked
like
a guy.
Balling.
And Coach basically admitted to us last week he was going to be a big part as a rookie on this defense. We got to get a spark somewhere. And they got to keep running different dudes out there because the guys are trying aren't getting there.
Yeah. I didn't expect to get a sack from the guy that got one yesterday.
Right. He's more of a run stopper.
Like, wait a minute. He's not a sack guy. Either way, wherever it comes from, we'll take it. But this is something, again, that we have to continue to get better at. Want to hear from you guys and where you're at. Mm. My opinions, by the way, have not changed whatsoever. The outlook of this team is still playoffs. I still think we win this division, and I still feel good about where we're headed. But when Cousins is struggling the way he did, defensively you're struggling the way you are, it's going to make a long day for anybody, man. And you know, at the end of the game, I think he just pulled him. You know, people were asking, you know, people were freaking out at where I was, Mike. Right. And I'm like, this happens in the NFL. There's no reason for Cousins to go back out there.
No.
This game's over. Let Penix get a couple of snaps. It's fine. It means nothing in the big scheme of things.
Right.
But I thought it was kind of the right move for Rob because he knew Cousins had taken a beating yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, and I know that Penix Jr., as you said, the coach admitted, hey, I'm sorry, I had Bijan out there for one play. Get him back out. There was no reason for Bijan to be in there that late. And Penix gets some reps, but, yeah, not the way we wanted to see it. We were hoping he'd be the human victory cigar.
Correct.
Right, not that kind of effort. So a lot of folks are kind of like, yeah, in the dumps. But if you're a Georgia fan, it's kind of a mixed bag. Also, by the way, Georgia Tech, talk about a lifeless game at Mercedes-Benz.
It was ugly.
You know, now, it's not going to be like that when they play Georgia in 25. Obviously, it's a rivalry game. But that's a game, and I heard Andy Randy talk about it. I heard Steak talk about it, too, and I agree. That's a game that you really wish was at Bobby Dodd under the lights, you know, and try to have some kind of a home field and have a vibe. It was just so just meh, just laid there. And, of course, with the injuries, it didn't Tech, help. it just was a bleh game.
Yeah, I was listening actually watching the first part of that game, and when I got wind of all the injuries for Georgia Tech, my guy's like, this is going to be a long afternoon, and it was. Seattle beats the Falcons 34-14 on a Falcon Monday, guys. We're talking about the Dogs. How about them Dogs? They are now, again, number two in the country, by the way, in the new rankings. We'll get to the college football polls that are going to be coming out at the end of the month. But when we come back, we'll hear from Bijan and what he had to say about yesterday and how they try to build on what the positives were as they lose to the Seahawks. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings. We just, in the break there, gave away a $50 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings. We've got four more to give away between now and 7 o'clock. We'll do it once an hour. And, Mike, give our audience a trivia question because Rodrigo got it right.
Who was the large-headed quarterback, the first quarterback Raheem Morris ever had on his roster in Tampa Bay, starting quarterback?
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, that's a good question.
And I just remember because the guy had a just gigantic head. I remember they were saying they had to get a special helmet when he came to Kansas State. Well, Rodrigo, who's flashing a Seahawks lid, you've earned the right, knew it was Josh Freeman. I was thinking of So I Married an Axe Murderer. You, that boy's got a head larger than Sputnik. You know, Mike Myers did the Scottish voice. Anyway, yeah, Josh Freeman, there you go. So we'll make it a little bit easier for the next round.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Bo is out here. Mike Johnson's out here from the morning shift hanging out. Come on out and say hello to those guys as well.
Hey, man, we were just talking to a listener on Twitter, Austin Head, funny name. And he was saying, you know, we talk about not having Jews coming out flat. He goes, where was the crowd? And I said to him, and there is no excuse. Carl, you and I have been there. We've seen this for years. The 1 o'clock starts. It's Atlanta. Guys, if you're not, that's the thing with the tailgate. If you're not leaving your tailgate by like 12:15,
you're going to be late.
You're going to be late. Or the traffic and or where you're parking. And I know sometimes people don't want to pay the big money to park close to the stadium. Either way, I've had season tickets everywhere I've lived. I've never been in a stadium which is so empty to start the game. In the old days with the Dolphins, everybody's in their seat when they come through the tunnel.
Yes.
Same thing when I lived in D.C. Same thing for the Giants. I'm not going to go tisk-tisk on the fans. We've been living with this for decades. But at some point, you'd think we'd be in the building on time.
I agree. And when we talk about no juice for the guys, there wasn't. There just wasn't. The building
no excuse
there
for the players, but they're looking for anything to feed off of. It wasn't there either.
It wasn't there. But you know, we don't make excuses for the guys playing being flat.
Right.
But, Mike, to do our part as far as being there on time and showing up, maybe it helps. I don't know. But at the end of the day, like, it's the least we could do, right? And so I totally agree with our listeners' point there. Let's hear from Coach Raheem Morris. He sat down with Arch after the game, guys, as we bring you a Falcon Monday live from Buffalo Wild Wings. More on the Dogs coming up. Connor Riley's going to join us at 4 o'clock. Huge road win. And I think this, from a defensive standpoint, was the Dogs' most impressive win of the season. And hopefully they can build on this. They get a week off, then they get Florida. We know how this rolls. But if there's any question about, you know, strength of schedule and preparing you for these moments, Mike, I think the Alabama game and the Kentucky game, believe it or not,
right,
really did prepare them to go into Austin and say, all right, this isn't a big deal. We're about to slap you guys down. And that's exactly what happened. More on that coming up. But here's Coach Raheem Morris with Dave Archer.
Raheem, I know this was not the effort you were looking for. Certainly the results would indicate that.
You know, not the effort. You know, we didn't come out. We came out flat today. You know, I hate to question guys' effort. I think the guys came out. We didn't play well, and we got to fix that. And that's something we got to go back to the lab and do.
You got the run game cranked up there in late first quarter, second quarter. Looked like that was something you're going to be able to hang your hat on, but it looked like that Seattle kept kind of countering it.
We just kept having moments,
yeah.
You know, whether it be a penalty, whether it be something to set us back, whether it be a big touchdown by those guys like at the end of the half, you know, something that they were able to counter do and something to do better than us, and we got to change those things to get the momentum we can get it.
What does a team learn from something like this, Raheem, that you take in the next week and you're much better?
National Football League, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to come out and you got to play every week, and you got to come out ready to go every week, and we were not ready to go, clearly.
Thanks for your time, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and Mike, here's the thing, too, from Ra. He's going to take responsibility for that, right? As a head coach, it doesn't matter if it's high school, college, when you come out, when the team comes out flat, the head coach puts that on his shoulders, and he takes full responsibility for that, even though that may not be the case. Right. Maybe Raw did everything he possibly could, and then the guys just ran out there and weren't ready, and we got what we got.
Yeah, I know, we said it earlier, and a couple guys hit us up on the text line, go, man, these are professionals. Yes, and it is, and it's happened. I said to Carl, an example, one of the best football teams to ever dress out, the 94 49ers. They went 13-3. And I remember, because we interviewed Steve Young at the Super Bowl one year, we talked about it, and he says, you know, there's just games. And that they lost, they got smoked. I looked it up. It was 40-8, week four against the Eagles at home in Candlestick.
Crazy.
And I remember because Steve Young threw a nutty on the sidelines. Hey, this is unacceptable. And it was kind of famous video of him just going bananas. And Seifert, you know, remember Steve, he had to put a mirror under his nose and he was breathing. But, yeah, it's funny how even really good teams have this phenomenon occur. So Falcon fans don't want to hear it. And, again, we haven't established that winning culture where you can just accept something like that. And I don't know, Raheem knows that.
He does. The good with the bad was Bijan running 400 yards yesterday. Can we get more of this? It looks to me, Mike, and I said this yesterday on social media after, you know, first couple of runs. I think he caught a ball out of the backfield and turned in a big play. And I said he's really getting comfortable, it feels like, in his role. And, you know, we can talk about knowing what to do. If you know what to do at your job, it's easier, right? Mm-hmm. I think Bijan knows what to do now. He feels comfortable, and you're seeing that in the results. He looks good and has the last few weeks. He sat down with Arch as well at the end of the game and talked about it.
Joined now by the Solomon Brothers player of the game, Bijan Robinson, touched the ball 24 times, 140 yards, and a touchdown total offense for Bijan. Bijan, heck of an effort. I know it wasn't what the end that you guys wanted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I mean, obviously, like, well, first off, I just want to give honor to God, you know, for getting us out safe and just continue to just play for him and just glorify his name on the highest level. So, yeah, I just want to thank him. But then, yeah, you know, it was obviously a tough loss. You know, it was on our part to, you know, get the ball in the end zone. And, you know, we had some just self-inflicted wounds and, you know, a lot of penalties that we need to just clean up. And, you know, little things, you know, here and there, from run game to pass game. But I think for us, like, you know, yeah, this was a stick in our momentum, but we can't let this, you know, affect us at all. You know, we have a really big game next week. So, you know, obviously we've got to forget about this game right here and just, and move on as fast as possible.
Tell me about the run game. You guys got cranked the run game up about mid first quarter through the second quarter. Mm-hmm. Looked like they make some changes up front because they started kind of stuffing the run a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, when we're running like we did, you know, we sometimes got to, you know, air it out a little bit more to let them back up. But, you know, our momentum, you know, for the run game, you know, we always want to just keep it going no matter what, you know, they come out with. And we want to execute it the best that we can. Obviously, you know, I pray for Burge, and, you know, I know he'll be back, you know, for next week, and he'll be back right. And then even News came back. But, you know, it's just little things right there because, you know, when that run game is going like how it was, it's kind of hard to stop. You know, it's really hard to stop. But we got to make sure that we're executing no matter what they call.
Yeah, Matthew Bergeron went down later on in the game. Looks like he's going to be okay, but we certainly, our prayers go out to him and make sure he's ready to roll. Okay. B, you're kind of one of the young guys on this team, but you're a focal point of this football team. What does your energy look like for next week to get ready for Tampa Bay?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. You know, I want to get the win. Obviously, I always want to win these games for the teammates, for everybody here. But, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and watch this film, and I'm gonna put this to the side. And, you know, this is a big one next week, so we gotta make sure we're locked in on the offense and on the defense and on special teams. But, you know, with that run game and that pass game, we need to make sure that we're dialing in, you know, all week for that game on Sunday.
Solomon Brothers player of the game, Bijan Robinson, always brings it. Thanks, bud.
Yes, sir. Yep. Thank you.
He's a leader, man, and we love his game, and, you know, that's the kind of stat sheet you love to attach to a dub, and we didn't. You and I were just looking at the numbers, and we did have time of possession. We did have more plays, but we just didn't get the weenie, you know, the win.
Yeah. And look, Seattle –
penalties were terrible.
Turnovers were terrible, but Seattle was desperate as well. And you know, I think a lot of fans say, well, Dukes and Bell, why can't we be desperate every week? When you're on these win streaks, right, you're feeling good about everything that's going well for you. It's different than when you're on a 3 or 4 game losing streak because you feel like the world is ending.
Right.
Hey, if we don't get right, somebody might get fired.
And we know what that's like. So we've experienced
absolutely
5-5-6 under Quinn, which is crazy.
So, you know, the NFL, the ebbs and flows, to be honest with you guys, is really 3-4 wins and L. 3-4 wins. That's how the season kind of goes. And it's not – you're not going to run off 7, 8, 9 in a row in the National Football League. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying let's hope that was our flat Sunday And we don't have any more of those. And we can put that one behind us. And moving forward, Mike, we'll feel better about going into these games. But hopefully this is a learning lesson for this team. You would say, hey, we got a bunch of vets on this team. These guys know. But sometimes it just happens, man.
Yeah, but the defense, I think the one thing that we are seeing, which, you know, like Falcon fans know it, guys in their cars right here at the bar know, we just, our defense isn't elite.
No.
And a lot of Kirbyisms. Elite.
It's not.
But no, it's just, you're not even close. We're the worst team in the NFL in sacks. Sacks do matter. We've done everything but get the quarterback on the ground. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, we have as many sacks as we do, seemingly. And then, you know, you touched on this. We have a coup missed field goal. We were like bad in all areas. Coup misses a field goal.
Special
Nowadays,
teams.
We're used to kickers hitting 60-yarders, and Coup is the gold standard. But he misses a 54-yarder, and then we get the stop, and we hold him to a field goal. It's 10-10. Yeah. It's 10-10 and a half. It's a completely different ballgame.
You feel different.
Right. And you get the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, and it would have felt different. 404-726-0929. You guys can always hit us up on the text line. Let us know what you're thinking. As far as, you know, like, how do we know this is not going to happen? We don't. I mean, we don't know. But my guess is when you have a clunker like this, Mike, it's like a bad day at the office. You don't want to come back the next day and have another bad day. You get your mind right. They'll get their minds right. We'll be up there on Wednesday to talk to Coach and everybody. And hopefully we go into Tampa, man. If we beat Tampa, by the way, looking forward, and we got right. all week to talk about it, we then have swept them. And we own the series.
Right.
The Saints are struggling, and we know Carolina's not doing a damn thing. I feel like you win this game, okay? You win the division, Mike, and we have a lot on the line. You want to talk about going to the playoffs and what that's going to look like, win this division first.
We have identical records, obviously, in the conference now. That's our first NFC loss, losing to Seattle. So I think as a fan, when we looked at the schedule, and you know, we're not supposed to do it, but we do. That's a win. That's a loss. I always felt we probably split with the Bucs, but now there's a sense of urgency after laying this out there on Sunday against Seattle.
Well, that's the other part of this, and I'm not saying I wish we would have lost because I always want to win, period. But what if this was reversed? What if we beat the hell out of Seattle and now we're on a four-game win streak and we're really feeling
right,
ourselves?
Then we're right for the picking.
Correct.
Right. So it is strange, the dynamic of the regular season, to your point. Tampa Bay, you know, let's hope. Let's all be Ravens fans tonight. Come down Buffalo Wild Wings. It's a double dip tonight. By the way, ESPN, another a la carte game. You have to have ESPN Plus to watch the nightcap tonight.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yep. So
there's only going to be one game on the network.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
And then the Chargers. And it's funny, I saw the promos like, it's the first game ever on ESPN Plus, as if it's something to be happy about. You know. So anyway, that's your nightcap. Chargers in Phoenix taking on the Cardinals. But it's 8:15, Tampa Bay and the Ravens. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing Lamar Jackson put some fireworks on tonight.
I do too. Over-under, I think, is 50 in that game.
Yeah, it's in Tampa Bay, by the way. I said Baltimore. It's in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. That's a lot of points.
I lost, by the way. How'd you do with your picks?
Army won.
Right.
Again.
And they covered.
They did cover. What was the other game? Oh, sorry, Mike. Florida State.
Yeah. Well, I told you. That's an easy one. That's the, by the way, Florida State is so bad. You guys went 3-0, and I went 1-2. My overs killed me, obviously. And by the way, just real quick, not that I'm angry, but too late now. Where the hell was the sense of urgency in Texas with like 5 and 6 minutes to go in that game? I was like, where is this going?
Nowhere.
You know, even Herb Street was talking about it on the broadcast, and I didn't get the over-under with the Falcons yesterday, so my overs went under.
Yeah.
My picks went under.
More on the dogs coming up, guys. Big win at Texas, and now they get ready for Florida after they get a week off. And I'll tell you this, Mike. The defensive front was nasty for the dogs. Just nasty.
It just shows you, you know, all week we had that discussion. Where is that superstar dog? Well, that guy's Mikel Williams. Actually, he had a bunch of them. They all played together, and they all look great.
We're going to come back. NFL Blitz is on the way. We'll give out some game balls and no balls as well. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, we got $50 gift cards for you. You got to come in, hang out with us, and we're giving out those gift cards via trivia. We also have a Kyle Pitts signed jersey you can register for. Lots of stuff going on here at the perimeter location. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.